I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we're back for episode 111 of Digital Divination, and Ron will begin with our traditional ritual of reading of the words of WotC.
Words, yes, and to be honest, having just re-upped my, you know, annual corporate certification, I know I am doing the right thing by saying, hey everyone, I am an employee of Wizards of the Coast, but the opinions I express are mine and not theirs.
Namaste.
They have training to teach you how to say that?
No, it's the social media training that we do.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cool. A lot of things you might actually expect. I probably could have, without knowing what this was, I could have written it. It'd be like, don't badmouth other companies or the people at other companies and express enthusiasm, but don't spoil stuff and all the things you might expect. But one of them is actually fairly specific. It's when you're appearing in a stream or something like that, that's totally permissible. But you're not speaking on behalf of Wizards. So make sure people know, hey, one, you're a Wizards employee, but two, you're not speaking on Wizards' behalf. You're speaking on your own behalf.
That's great. That's good. And so it sounds like I remember you were a little concerned initially on about doing this, and now it sounds like it is okay thing. In fact, they're expecting people to do it, so making sure you do the right thing when you do it.
Well, I think so. There's something really valuable about people who are excited about the industry, like, expressing their excitement about the industry, and I'm very excited about this industry. So I think that doing their best to sort of quench that is not good in the long run. And I think letting people have their enthusiasm shine in ways that it isn't going to sort of impute trouble to the employer is actually really, really wise. I remember, Paizo was very much the same as far as very much encouraged to go on streams and do interviews and things like that. And that was always always very fun to do. So,
yeah, it's just sort of a similar thing. Like sometimes you're going on the interview because you're about to talk about a product and you are talking for the voice of Paizo, right? Like maybe you'll go on a No Direction and talk, preview about it. And that happens on company time usually anyway. So that's who you are. But for stuff like this, this is my own personal opinions and the
not
same
Paizo's.
Not Paizo's. I don't feel like it's generally been sort of, I guess, not really, there hasn't been any like thorniness around it, so that's why I haven't really said anything like that, but I think that's
it's almost clear. Understood because everybody at Paizo's like doing these kind of things anyway.
Right, you're not signing off an annual attestation that you're going to say that, so
well, we were all chatting about this before we got started, and summer's here. It's a nice balmy 70 plus degrees in Seattle, which is short sleeve and short weather. I know it's not in a lot of other places, but here it's nice warm weather, and that also means convention season. And I'm getting excited for conventions, and I thought we could talk about what excites you about going to conventions, either for work or for not for work. And then what are your favorite conventions and why?
That's good. I'll take the first of those questions myself. One of the things that I've really enjoyed doing for conventions that I've been attending for, the last several decades, is I like playing a lot of different game systems that I otherwise don't get to play with my home group. And then I keep like a binder of, at the end of every convention, it's like, here's all the pre-generated characters I was given and the sort of the quick start printout pages of stuff, and maybe even some handouts that I was given. And that's the case whether it's some game I've never played before, like Continuum, this time travel game that my group has never been interested in, or even if it's something like, the Paizo Organized Play or something like that, where it is a game I know well, but I sort of, you know, keep the characters and kind of the handouts and stuff. It'd be kind of fun. And so every now and again, when I'm going through some of my old gaming boxes, I'll come across some year's folder for, oh, hey, here was the, oh, I remember playing that, this weird detective game, and it turned out we were all aliens, but we didn't know it at the time, and stuff like that. So,
now that's at a big convention, right? A really large one. You have those opportunities. You don't always have them at smaller
ones. That's true. Even some of the smaller ones. Yeah. I feel like I'm not the only one who enjoys going to conventions because it lets me play things that I don't get to play with my home group. Yeah. And so you can have people at even some of the, you know, the small Illinois conventions that I used to go to, you know, downstate, would play games that I only ever heard of when I was there or something like that. Most recently, I was at Gamehole Con in Madison. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of games that I played that I'd never played before, which are not necessarily new games. Like Dragonbane is a big Swedish RPG that I had never played before, but I got to play one shot there. There was a ton of fun. There's a horror game whose name I think it might have been Shiver. I hadn't even heard of, but was excited to be able to play. And that wasn't a super big con, but big enough to have enough variety of games. I don't think I played the same game system twice the entire time I was there.
It's pretty cool. In a similar vein though, as to for the big cons, it is one of the things I've always liked is finding things like just when you cons that have big floors like Gen Con, going out there and just kind of like wandering around a little bit and just stumbling across something that you didn't even know existed. Right. There was something a while back at Gen Con that I found something called Stakeland.
Oh, which was based on the movie.
I don't know if it was based on the movie.
Wait, what? What
or the movie's based on the game. That would be even better.
I don't think that's true either. Maybe it's not called Stakeland. Now I'm not sure what it is, but it was this very stylized sort of like, it was like someone was starting to do a game based on their comic book, essentially, or their drawings, and it was this very stylized. And the game didn't really exist at that point, but they were giving out patches and stuff like that. But it was very cool, and I was like, oh, this looks really cool. I'm very excited to find out more about it later if it ever – I don't even think it ever came to Kickstarter. But it was something out there that was like – that I would not have been able to find like kind of anywhere else because it didn't really have a big – you can't really just sort of troll the internet to find this kind of stuff. You kind of need to go to some space specific and just kind of look around and hope you spot something that excites you or, card game, board game, role-playing game, especially Gen Con, all those things.
Yeah, well, was that specific? Did you have a good time at that specific game?
I didn't play the game. This was just wandering around booths and looking for stuff, and then interesting. I should buy that, or I should check it out, and get something because that I think I did buy something. It was like a little bit of book of art with like some concepts what's the word I'm looking for? Some lore stuff in there. Like what this is. This is a this is the kind of world that this is. And I'm like, oh, that's very intriguing to me. I didn't have a game attached to it yet, but I feel like I've found other. Well, there's the one game, Ron, that when we went to Shucks, 2019, right? Up in Canada, there was a game. I found a game there that I was like, this looks like a game that I was trying to make ages ago. And then for some reason, I never bought that. I didn't buy the game at the time. Joe found it for me like last year and sent me a copy.
Oh, which
game
was it?
I have it now. It's called Spell, and it's the game you play with Scrabble tiles.
Oh, okay. Oh,
wow. Yes, and when we're looking at the pickup, I'm like, I was trying to do this like years ago, and someone cracked the code maybe, and I thought, oh, this looks pretty cool, and then I didn't buy the book. Why? I know this is like something of very much interest.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also played a game that I'd only ever played there called Your Perfect Dream Neighborhood or something like that.
The Roll and Write one? No.
Yes, it was a house one. Where you were putting house numbers on a pad. Right, and I just had a board game kind of meetup thing at my house where I just had a bunch of people come on over and bring whatever games you want, and a couple of friends of mine brought that because it was kind of like their go-to game, and I'm like, wait, in the distant prehistory in my mind, I remember having played this once with my friends Jason and Joe at a convention in Canada.
That was the one. So I think we're talking about two different games. There's one that's sort of been out for a while. We did play that one, and then there was that. Remember that one where we went to like it was like like 100 people were playing it at the same time where you were
building a house.
We did the mega game. Not exactly the mega game, but we'll talk about those in a second. Sorry. It was a different roll and write. Maybe it wasn't 100 people, but it was like 20 or 40 people.
But I totally forgot that.
The architecture of the house, right?
And it was like shapes you had to be able to match, and you could easily lock yourself out of being able to match them all.
This house is all coming. Hallways, right?
Yeah. I forgot all about that till now.
Yeah, that one. I don't know if it ever. That one was also like, don't know if that ever came out. The house game you're thinking of is Welcome To, which I play all the time on Board Game Arena. That's great. Now let's talk about mega games, which is also something you can kind of really only experience at cons or special events.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the fact that it's a bunch of, it's like, what if Model UN was also a role playing game? Is one way to put it. Mm-hmm. So you have these people come in and you get like a role of some kind. Oh, you're the secretary of this country or whatever. The one that we helped run was the one based on the Scythe board game, right?
There were two that we did.
Oh, and
there's
the alien one too. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a third one, which we didn't do, but I don't remember what that one was. So they just did these things like maybe you're a representative of a fictional country. Maybe it's the real world, but aliens are attacking or something like that. And then you get like dossiers and you try to like get some goals, and every mega game has its own sort of mechanics. Like sometimes you're just like, I'm trying to get cards and collect them and trade them, but most of it is just sort of like talking to other people and actually playing a role in a big kind of, not quite a LARP, because it doesn't get that involved, but it is LARP-esque. And you know, we were going to do something with a mega game in 2020 and then 2020.
Yeah, oh man, the 2020 PaizoCon mega game we were going to do would have been totally awesome had there not been this pandemic that had swept through. I had some experience. My first experience really with something like that LARPing, like the mega game, I have to admit, was, you know, gosh, back in 1990. Right. When I graduated high school, in my high school Spanish class, we had to do like this final project. And my final project was sort of a really big how to host a murder / LARP kind of thing, where every one of the 30 people in my Spanish class got a role in all in Spanish. And it was about some sort of terrorist attack or something, some subset of them. Their characters knew about it and the rest of everybody else had to figure it out. And it only could happen in conversation. And of course, only in Spanish. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of testing everybody on the Spanish thing. I got very good marks for that, but I think that might've been where my initial love of things like convention interactive and things like that, where a lot of people working towards similar goals and very occasionally cross purposes.
Yeah,
is a thing you can only do with a big group of people like conventions bring together.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to both of you, the perspective, you know, because you can tell you're both really excited about the design of these various systems and what it brings for the players and, you know, how it's different from other things out there. You know, that's a lot different than my perspective on conventions. And I haven't gone to a lot of gaming conventions until more recently, you know, the last 10 years. And a lot of mine was going to small and medium sized ones for organized play, because I was working on getting my five Novas, and you had to play a certain number of specials, which were at the time only at all these various conventions. But I will say I really enjoy the large conventions, in part because there's a lot of people playtesting games that are new, you know, and they're not even at a dedicated booth. They're like, you're having lunch and there's somebody comes over to you and says, hey, I got this game. You want to try it out? Yeah. You know, like Carlos Cabrera's daughter is developing a game and she goes to these conventions and play tests it with people. And I think
just with people, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And now it's going to be published, you know? It's so kind of interesting perspective like that. So what you've been talking about, a lot of that revolves around larger game conventions. You know, Ron, you talked about you know, Game Hole convention. We both recently went to NorwestCon, which are both kind of medium-sized conventions. You know, how are things different from your perspective with a medium size or maybe even a small convention?
The small conventions that I've participated in, and especially the couple of small conventions that I've organized, have all been around, specifically around an organized play campaign.
Right.
Living Greyhawk back in the day. We had, when I was on the administrative triad for the region that we were in with the Living Greyhawk game, one of the things that I got to do was to create one of the sort of the special interactive events. Mm-hmm. And I made this special interactive event kind of not a sequel to, but sort of a parallel adventure to a series of five adventures that had recently come out in the campaign. So I'm like, oh, I've got an idea. Let's put this convention together where we kind of showcase is these five adventures and everybody plays this one big interactive event. Mm-hmm. That was, without going, you know, into levels of detail, I certainly could, like this mystical sort of, you know, invisible highway that would go across the region in the sky, and how people were trying to use it to spy on people or use it for extra fast travel and stuff like that. And so all the different adventures were into this, about sort of the intrigue of it and the magical origins and so on. And the interactive was somebody decided, let's just have a big race. And so the interactive was like a rally race around this on this invisible, super magical highway way up in the sky. Super dangerous, like the dangerous place to have a race. But they're like, why not? Anyway, so, you know, having to deal with all of the shenanigans that come up with I never played the rally adventure for Starfinder, but that same sort of got to secure your own car and realize there's some sabotage you got to stop and things like that are going on. And that was the kind of thing that we did in order to put that small campaign together. We turns out that convention had a lot of people from all over the world, right? We had somebody come in from New Zealand for it, and then somebody come in from Scotland for it. Because they're like, hey, this is really focused around a series of adventures I'm not otherwise going to be able to play, and kind of cap it all off with kind of a fun way to tie into it. So sure, that sounds like a great thing. And when I say small, I don't know that we had more than 40 people, maybe only 30 people at it. But I think it's a good time had by all.
Cool.
What about you, Jason? Perspectives?
I don't know if I have a lot of experience with the smaller and medium cons per se. I mean, I've been to a couple little ones, and it's always the reason to go to the smaller cons is always to game. It's you know, there's going to the big cons and working them and getting the energy from that and looking around at other games and stuff like that. But the small cons are for gaming for me. So like there is a con that I went to was going to pretty frequently, as Board Game Geek Con. Mm-hmm. And that was just for board games. And that also had a bit of a small dealer room, so there was some looking at and buying games. But for the most part, it was finding games and playing them and just getting people to just try all sorts of games that we would not normally try because they have a library there, and that's pretty great.
Right.
But I also remember, I don't know if I'd call this a con exactly, but it's con-like. Every so often, when I was in New York City, all of my nerd friends would do a, what do we call it? It's called GGG, the Gotham Gaming Guild. And we would just like, because we all knew we had a forum and we would all talk about, oh, we're going to do this. It would be just people running games, and we would rent out a space, you know, in downtown somewhere for a day, or maybe even the whole, like one day over the whole weekend, you know, a couple hours, you know, six or seven hours Saturday, 6 or 7 hours Sunday. And then it would be big rooms basically filled with board, you know, not huge, but like six tables playing different games, and everyone, mm-hmm. you'd sign up ahead of time, and this is the game you were playing for the whole thing. Maybe some, you know, it was blocked in hours. It may have been like all day too, because it was like you could have a morning slot and an afternoon slot, and everyone was trying to like do these different things. Some people would be running board games, and some people were running one shots, and some people would run campaign, like, you know, two or three adventures or whatever, in such a way that you could sign up for all of them, and just sort of go back and finish the whole thing. So yeah, I remember running a lot of stuff of that, and that was always fun trying to play and just sort of getting involved. But it was also, it was like mostly people that I already knew from the forums basically, but every once in a while it would be kind of open a little bit, not to the public exactly, because who would know, but it was, you know, you had to pay to do it, so we could pay for the room, because that stuff is expensive in New York City. It was a good sort of like almost would say like the first kind of con that I'd actually ever been to, because it was just sort of the same vibe, right? As sort of like people, a lot of people in a room, and you kind of like gotta be a little loud, louder than everybody else, or like at least so you focus in on the game that you're at while, you know, five other tables are going off and having their own good times.
Yeah, I agree, you know, kind of with Ron was saying, actually, and Jason, as you're alluding to, that the smaller cons are about gaming, right? And yes, there's oftentimes some people will bring in a different game or a new game to try out, but usually when I've gone, it's been for organized play, because I was in 2019, I think the year before COVID, I went to like 15 conventions, you know, all kinds of different sizes. Part of it was because I wanted to go, I had to do 10 specials. So I was going to all these places that were running specials. And then I wanted to go to larger conventions and started having fun going to them. And I want to talk about one small convention in particular. I had a friend down in Sacramento who, I had met him at PaizoCon, and he invited me to go down to their con. I don't even remember the name of it. Tiny little con. It's in a big Air Force Base hangar that's been converted.
Oh, wow. You
know, where they do the con. And there'd be like five tables in there, between Starfinder and Pathfinder and stuff. And, you know, the first year I drove down there 17 hours straight to get down there and stayed. And it was so much fun because like every slot, everybody played and you got to know everybody, you know, and most people were local. And I was like the only person from out of the area. And it was really cool to kind of see how a different group did the same things that you would do like in your home group and how they organized and stuff. And I went there a couple of times. And then the last time I went there, they got guest speakers from Paizo. It was Amanda and Rob were down there as guest speakers. You know, they had the usual thing where they'll have a meet and greet and talk and everything and ask. And so they had the scheduled time to do that where the two of them were there and anybody could come in and talk and ask them questions and stuff. I was the only one that showed up. So I got an hour of time to ask the two of them anything I wanted about Starfinder and Pathfinder, but mostly Starfinder stuff. That was kind of the emphasis.
Right at the beginning of Starfinder, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it was like,
tell me all about this cool new thing.
A really cool experience, you know, to do that. So that's like a really cool small con experience that I had.
It's fun. That's fun to hear you describe that because you're sort of the plus one that helps tables, you know, that helps make tables. Going to a lot of these organized play conventions, you know, especially back in the Living City day, but also Pathfinder Society, Starfinder Society, I would often go if it was nearby where I live with some group of people. And if it was like me and five other people that kind of all knew each other, I'd have a decent enough time, but I'd spend at least some point looking around the con going, I can play with you guys around my dining room table. Why, why do we pay to come here? But it was actually a lot more fun if you've got, you know, one, two, maybe three other people. So you're like this small group and every table you're at is just a couple of people you don't know. And then the next table is a different couple of people you don't know. And maybe you see one of them again and maybe you don't. And so being sort of a nucleus around which plus one's attached. And of course, a lot of times I'd, you know, travel to go to one of these conventions and I'd be like, you just described the plus one. Right. And so I'd sit down at a table and it would become pretty obvious, like, hey, those three guys all know each other and game together a lot. Yeah. Right. And that's that kind of mixing and matching of the different sort of social circles in this very social hobby of ours was something I thought was really fun to witness.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's always something like, going to conventions and what I would do a while back for working for Paizo for like 2 or 3 years, going to Gen Con and just running kind of games to sort of showcase the game that we were selling was also just like getting that feeling of like introducing people to something new and then getting dynamics of people who hadn't played, you know, these two people know each other, they got tickets together and these two people did this and like, but then they're sort of groups coming together and forming the sort of alchemy of a whole new connections and relationships is always just so exciting. I mean, that just and then running and then just like getting to see like how that group tackles, say, this scenario that I'm running over and over and over again. I'm running it four times over the course of Gen Con, and it never ends the same way, you know, or some, mm-hmm. basically, right? It's just, I mean, that was always the thing that makes the conventions sort of like so exciting, but also, I mean, also exhausting, but just the reason you go is just like, do this, and get people yes. excited about games and have people come up to you. A year later, 2 years later, I'd be like, oh, I played that game that you ran, yeah. and it was so much fun. And like, oh, yeah, you still, and they come back and like, maybe, you know, the next year they sign up. It's not the same scenario, so they sign up for it again, but they just want to play that game or have you run that game for them.
Yeah.
Whatever it is awesome. You get those little connections. It's people you only see at the con, right? You never see these right. people anywhere else, right. but you do, and you kind of have this sort of extended every year relationship with them. And all mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. That's a good way to put it. An extended yeah. every year relationship. Yeah.
Maybe I just word annual instead of every annual. Year. That's more that's concise. Right. Word.
An extended annual relationship. Yeah. So that's...
There you go. The old AER.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because like one of the things I used to run a lot of organized play locally, and then I did all these conventions. I don't do it as much now, but one of the things I always make a point to do is try to run the Starfinder special when it comes out at PaizoCon or now PaizoCon Online, and I get people. At that convention, and I did Gen Con Online as well last year, and I'll do it off and on. Mm-hmm. And people that had played with me previously in the previous specials look for me, and I play with them again and say, oh, yeah, you're the guy that's that pilot here out of Chicago. Where are you at now? You know, because he's flying everywhere, and whenever he's in the hotel, he gets down and play. Or, oh, yeah, you're the couple from North Carolina. I remember how things, you know, so it's this the same thing, you know, that Jason talked about in person, but because it's online, they're more easily able to kind of connect with you on these things from all over the world, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the neat thing with that. What has been your favorite convention? And you can either say in general or maybe a specific convention experience.
Selfishly, basically, like during the first time I went there as an employee, but PaizoCon has always been mm-hmm. so much fun and so energizing to meet the people because it's people coming to the con just to talk about Paizo stuff, right?
Right.
And that is it's an ego boost, when it's and that can be helpful, every year when you're grinding out the books and stuff like that, it can really help. So I would have to say that I really miss the in-person PaizoCons. Ron and Joe and I, we would do the puzzle hunt, and that would serve this thing. People would come up to us in the middle, and you could just sit there. And granted, like a lot of the times too, I would like a friend of mine from New York would come, and most of the time we would just like we would have be getting food together a lot, but I wouldn't necessarily be wandering around. And interacting with everybody all the time. So I, him and I would just sort of sit and catch up too, but like you could sit out there and people can come up and talk to you and watch the other people playing board games on the weird tables in that hotel. Just everything about it was always, good. And people finding you like at the banquets when you're like, oh, please sit. People finding you to sit with you again that they sat with you last year. And that's always sort of just makes you feel like, almost like a celebrity. Which is gamer something famous. That appeals to me.
You're not famous, but you're gamer famous.
Fair enough. Yeah. Paizo famous.
Yeah. Well, a lot of my top convention experience Jason's been part of, right? I think that Shucks campaign, the Shucks convention we went to was one of my favorites as far as, great games, fun. A good company, and the making. It was just so much fun. And then PaizoCons, as you say, are always great. And it was neat to be attending PaizoCon as just an attendee who had kind of, I had stars in my eyes because of all these famous people I was meeting, and then be able to participate, wear the blue shirt with a golem on it as a Paizo employee and be one of the people who's, that people are, startlingly eager and surprised to see. One of my most notable, maybe one of my favorite conventions, though, has to be one of the Gen Cons I went to. We've been to Gen Con plenty of times, a dozen times, maybe more. And I would go, as I said, a lot of times in order to play games that I couldn't play with my friends at home or wouldn't play with them. And I felt like at the end of one Gen Con, one very busy Gen Con, I realized how many people are giving their time to prepare unique and, you know, fun adventures in sometimes some real niche systems, and how much I benefited from the hard work that so many of these people had done. And so I decided, and I want to say this was maybe 2016 or something like that. I decided what I called my own Gen Con give back, where I was going to go to Gen Con and I was going to not play in any game. I was going to run a game in every slot that was a different game in each slot. A couple of them overlapped with game systems, but it was an entirely different adventure for the game system. And as much as I find big crowds really energizing, and as much as I find conventions really energizing, a lot of people are really exhausted by the end of conventions or are kind of done seeing people. That's never been the case for me, except this once. That Gen Con was so exhausting for me by the end. I'm like, whoo, I really feel like I've worked hard. I have given back to Gen Con the way that I had hoped to. And I still see some of the, looking back on it now, some of the adventures I put together for that, I still think are pretty darned clever. And some of them are, could have been better. And I had sort of fun experience with them, you know, in every slot. I had one of them that didn't have enough people. It was just me and two other people. And so we canceled the event. But other than that, you know, I had, you know, big groups and, you know, a lot of different stories to tell about all these individualized adventures I did. That was the only Gen Con I found super exhausting, but it's also super memorable for that very reason. It might be one of the ones I put near the top of my, you know, favorite, most memorable conventions list.
Yeah. Now this is going to be a broken record because PaizoCon in person is probably my favorite, in part, especially now. I can imagine there's so many people I know that are in organized play and stuff like that all over the world. That's the one place that generally everybody would come. Some of them might go to Origin, some of them might go to Gen Con, some might go to South, but a lot of them would come, you know, from Australia and UK to PaizoCon because of how specific it was. In my very first one, I went there, I didn't really know many people there. And when it came to the banquet, I'd signed up. I wasn't sure I was going to go. It was a super long line. I was so tired because this is pre-transplant. I was all wore out. So I was sitting down. Finally, like the tail end came in, was going in. I said, I'm going to go and get something to eat. I go in there. I'm looking for an empty seat. I find one at this table way in the back. And I sit down and I'm like, wow, you know, this is kind of cool. I don't know anybody here. And so I'm chatting with the people next to me and they say, oh, what are you interested in? So I'm here. I love Starfinder. It's so awesome. I'm super excited. You know, Starfinder just come out. And I happened to sit between Owen Casey Stevens and Alex Agudas.
Oh, my goodness. Starfinder luminaries.
And two people.
See, these are the stars in my eyes for those guys. Like, wow.
Such huge contributions to the Starfinder core book. And, you know, through that, and it was like, wow. I had no idea who they were. And it was like, wow, this is, you know, so that was like, for my first experience as a new person and, you know, doing PaizoCon and everything, they were like so nice and gracious and answered all kinds of crazy questions for me. And that was just like the most memorable and fun thing. And overall, it's, you know, it was fun too.
Yeah, that makes sense. here's a funny story. Here's another funny con story.
Okay.
This is pre-Paizo for me. Going to Gen Con like for a couple years, and there was a one Gen Con where we had something nominated at the Ennies, and we went and it was during the time when Paizo would take every Ennie category, essentially, right? There was just like over and over and over again, it's like, oh, and Paizo for this and this, and so we went, it was fun, you know, and then I think we went again the next year and it was the same thing, and then that the year after that, we're like, oh, we don't need to go to the Ennies. We're not nominated for anything. Paizo's just going to take stuff. Let's just not go. We'll go drink or whatever. And so that was the year that the game that we had, Fortune's Fool, won the Judge's Choice Ennies, which I didn't know was a thing. And they should tell you that you're going to win one ahead of time
so you can go and
accept it. So we didn't know what was in there. And then we're walking around, we're walking over one of those skyways between the convention center and one of the hotels. And we run into some friends of ours who are there, and they had heard. They were like, oh, no, they were joking. Oh, you didn't go to the Annies. Yeah, haha. But yeah, we didn't go to the Annies. You know, you won. They're like, oh, we didn't win it. What are you talking about? We weren't nominated for anything. No, you won the Judge's Choice Award. I'm like, what? Why didn't they tell us that? Isaac's explaining to me when that happens, for whatever reason, it was probably the end of the a baseball game that was happening in the field that's sort of across the street from the convention center. Fireworks start going off, and so we're on the sky bridge with fireworks sort of popping off, and illuminating the color, being told we'd won this kind of cool award. Which I thought was kind of like, oh, look at that. There's been fireworks for us, right? Yeah, that's probably for us because we won. Yeah, sure. No, you had to win. So we had to like go the next day to the booth and be like, yeah, we know we won an award apparently. So that was a lot of, that was a unique encounter that will stick in my brain for sure.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I have one of my most noteworthy convention stories is very much the opposite of that. And it's cautionary tale about hubris. The first PaizoCon that I'd been to, where I'd written something for Paizo as a freelancer, somebody caught my name and asked me to sign their book. It was the first time I'd been asked to sign a book for something, and it was made me feel quite special. Mm-hmm. So the second PaizoCon that I went to, and it still is an attendee, the con hadn't even started yet. It was the night before, and we were down in the lobby there, and somebody's like, I'm talking with my friend Rhett, and somebody's like, excuse me, are you Ron Lundeen? And I'm reaching into my pocket for the special sign and stuff pen that I brought in case. And I turn around, I'm like, yes, I am Ron Lundeen. And this guy's like, yeah, I'm from New York, and I know a couple guys want to beat the something out of you. I'm like, what? No, they don't. No, he was mad because I'd written an adventure that was hard. And apparently the local judge had TPK'd him and three of his friends, and they're like, I'm done with Paizo stuff forever because I can't believe they'd let this Ron Lundeen write an adventure that TPK'd his son. And this guy was just coming back after like 2 years. This was like, he's like, oh, I'm going to go back to PaizoCon. I'm going to give them another chance, even though that Ron Lundeen. And so who does he meet in the before the convention even starts, but that Ron Lundeen guy who's super smug about it. Anyway, don't let your hubris get the best of you, no matter what situation you're in at a convention, is my story.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. And are we all going to Gen Con this year?
I believe that I am. Yes. I'm going for work.
I'm not going to Gen Con this year. I really want to go next year.
Yeah, me too. I really want to go next year too. But
Hopefully we'll see each other then. And,
yes. Okay.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we see each other now, so that's
sure. But you know, it's been a bit since I've seen you in the living flesh. So
that's true.
That's true. And we've been just talking for like 37 minutes. How special and unique the convention atmosphere can be. So
yeah,
it is. The in person is a big thing. And you know, one of the things I enjoyed, there was one year when I was doing all those conventions, I did PaizoCon, Origins, and Gen Con. And I saw and played with like the same group of people and got to know them and hung out with them. And that was kind of a really cool thing to get.
I mean, other players, organized play people, not Paizo employees, but like.
They were organized play folks, but turns out freelancers and things like that. Jessica Redekop and Vanessa and other, you know, they happened to be there. They were writers at the time, right? You know, I guess Jess still is, but very prominent now. And they were just kind of starting, you know, meeting at different places and stuff. And then, get to know them. And then SkullCon was another one. So I went to SkullCon that year and a bunch of them were there again.
People were there again.
Yeah. So it's like, wow, this is kind of neat, you know? But because they're all Midwest people in that area, and it was easier for them to get to all those games.
Yeah.
You
know. I do miss that quite a bit. When I was living in the Midwest, it was my choice of cons just about any weekend of the summer. So yeah. I do miss the staggering variety of different sizes and types of conventions you can get to, just, you know, from a home base in Chicago, you know, into Indiana or Wisconsin or Minnesota or any of those places. So
we might have to do GameStorm down in Portland with Jason sometime.
I've heard very good things about GameStorm, but I haven't been. Have you been, Jason?
I have not been to GameStorm. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's
you're closer
like,
there.
It's like NorwestCon size. It's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Noted. Is that that didn't already happen this year? It's not. It's,
I right? think it's March.
Oh, okay.
It's early. Well, it's like earlier than the others. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, we can keep an eye on it. That's one of the magic things about conventions. So many of them sort of hit their stride and just keep going year after year, and that's where you can really work some of the, you know, really good contacts and friendships that you have.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, hey, it's great catching up and getting ready to kick off con season here. And maybe we'll see some of you this year at Gen Con and maybe all of you next year at Gen Con. Who knows?
Come find we'll us. See.
Yes. We'll give it a shot. But look for us. Look for us this year, next year at Gen Con. Yes. How's that?
Yeah, all of you look for John and Ron this year at Gen Con. Tell them I sent you.
Yeah, I'll be at the Starfinder 2 table.
I knew a guy named Jason wants to beat the... Anyway.
One of these days, Ron, I'm going to get you.
I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.